Good morning. It is good to see each of you here this morning. We have visitors with us. You honor us by being with us this morning. And we know that you could have chosen to worship God with other folks, but you chose us this morning. And it is honoring and humbling to us that you chose to do that. So we are indeed grateful. We pray that everyone will have a safe holiday season coming up this week and get to spend some time with people you love and with grateful hearts. And as we move through this year, it's been a challenge to all of us. And we made the commitment some time ago to sort of take these memory verses from the different books of the Bible and not knowing everything that was going to happen in 2020. I have been humbled by how God has spoken almost every week to our circumstance, and today's lesson is no different. And so we're studying from the book of Habakkuk, and it's an interesting word. It's an interesting name. In fact, I don't know about many biblical names people take, on, and we have a lot of Jameses and Johns and Nathaniels and Jeremiahs, and we have all these wonderful biblical names that people choose for the children. But I don't think I've ever heard a family choose Habakkuk as a name. Anyone? Yeah. So if you want your child to have a really unique name, choose the name Habakkuk. And it's an interesting name. It's got three K's. How many other names got three K's in it? So, but Habakkuk's a good name because it's taken from the Hebrew root Habak, which means to embrace. And so Habakkuk means the one who embraces. It's really pretty when you think of it and what it means. Habakkuk. And so I guess from this lesson, I want us to think about some things. And Habakkuk was living in troubling times. And Brother Steve alluded to it in his prayer that these are stressful, difficult times. And Habakkuk was living in that time. But what we sometimes know dispositionally, it's really easy to praise God when things are going well. When things are going good, it's really easy, just to sing, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. It's really easy to sing those kind of things and praise God when it's going good. But it's not so easy to praise God when things are not going well, when we're being challenged, when things are not how we would like for them to be, when circumstances just seem bad. It's really hard to want to break out and praise God then. But what Habakkuk does is help guide us in understanding that we as God's people need to praise God in all circumstances, in every situation. Habakkuk is listed as one of the minor prophets, and he addresses this issue, and it's really poetry. If you look at Habakkuk, it looks a little bit like a psalm or Ecclesiastes. It's broken down a little bit different. It's not in a narrative form. It's more like verses of poetry, and that's exactly what it is. Now, again, this set of studies has sort of forced me into looking at some of these people. I didn't realize how important Habakkuk was to Judaism. It's very, very important. He's very, very important in Christianity because we reference much as Habakkuk as well, but also in Islamic faith, they hold Habakkuk as a great prophet as well. And so it's sort of interesting to understand that historically he's a very, very important person, although we don't talk a whole lot about him. His book is broken down for us into three chapters. It's a pretty small book. It's not the smallest of the minor prophets, but it's still a very small. But he lived in the final days of Judah before the Babylonians came in and took it over. And things were corrupt. In fact, in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, there's like five woes that God says, these people are not good. They're not taking care of the poor. They're not taking care of each other. They're not honoring me. He lists all these things and how corrupt these are. And Habakkuk says, yeah, I see it too, God. And so Habakkuk knows that because of what happened in the northern kingdom, it's just a matter of time before the Babylonians will come in and invade their country. And Habakkuk sees that the country is just falling apart. And he's really, really struggling. And he's struggling with the uncertainty of things. He knows the Babylonians are not good people, and he has a hard time reconciling how God are going to make these not good people come in to his land and destroy his people. He doesn't understand this, how God operates. And so the whole book, if you will, of Habakkuk is a conversation, these three chapters, between the prophet and God. Habakkuk doesn't interact with the people. He doesn't make these proclamations to Judah. This is a conversation between a man, a prophet of God, and God. But to sort of summarize the first couple of chapters, there's this lament, this sadness that he sees, you know. And the country is not in good shape. The people are not being mindful of each other. They're taking advantage of the poor. They're drinking to excess. I mean, there's just all kinds of problems. The moral decay he sees around him. But yet knowing that God is righteous and God will send his judgment, he's struggling with this as well. And so, but God promises Habakkuk that he will make it right. But in the interim, the people of God should live with faith and trust in God. Eric and I did not confer with this morning about our song service or the sermon this morning, but he really probably couldn't have chose a better song this morning than Living by Faith. I mean, it's a really powerful song. That how do people of God move through difficult times? They live by faith. And faith is seeing the unseen. Faith is looking beyond my current circumstances and believing in absolute truth that God is in his heaven, that God is in control, and that God will make it right. So that is the message that God leads to Habakkuk. Now, I know for some of you folks who love to deer hunting, and you know it's deer season, and you chose to come to worship this morning instead of going hunting, I'm driving you crazy with my slide this morning. I'm aware of that. That you're thinking, that is just cruel. What is he doing to me? You know. But I'll promise you, I'll make the slide make sense. Okay? Actually, I won't. Habakkuk will. Okay? And so we will see from the Word of God how this will make sense. Okay, so but God says I'm going to make it right. God says in Habakkuk chapter 2, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Who can judge God? Who can bring an accusation against God? And this is a phrase over and over again. When God is in His temple, things are right. God is in His holy place. Why are you questioning? Why are you struggling? Now the lament of Habakkuk is one that, I mean, folks, 2020 has been hard for everybody. And then on top of the restrictions, on top of everything else, many people have just experienced heartbreaking loss. And others have experienced uncertainty, insecurity. And sometimes we may want to ask God, why? Why is it the way it is? Now, in our lifetime, many of us think this is one of the toughest things we've gone through. But in truth, I'd say Ma Woolbright could probably give us some better perspective. There's been a lot of tough things to go through, hasn't there been, Ma? in over 90 years. You know, after Pearl Harbor, there was a Christmas. After the October fall of the stock market and the Great Depression hit, there was a Thanksgiving and there was a Christmas. And after all the wars when people deployed, there were Thanksgivings, there were Christmases. You know, after September the 11th, we had a Thanksgiving and a Christmas. They were all altered. They were all different. But people got through it. And I think we just need to remind ourselves of that. The existential psychiatrist, Viktor Frankl, I'm not going to tell you his whole story, but other than the fact that he survived concentration camp, he made this statement: when we cannot change our circumstances, we must change ourselves. When we cannot change our circumstances, we must change ourselves. And I think Habakkuk says, you know, that's right. He couldn't change the circumstances of his country, but he says, I can change myself. I can move toward this uncertainty and chaos and insecurity with faith. And so this is what we see, is that God tells Habakkuk that just because a nation rises to power or falls apart, it does not mean he's endorsing that nation. But ultimately, God is about a bigger plan. God is ultimately trying to bring about the greater good. And it's the same with God's people. Sometimes we see good people struggle, and sometimes we see godly people not struggling. And we ask why. And God says, just hold on. I'm still in my temple. I'm still reigning in heaven. Just hold on. And so God also says to Habakkuk in chapter 2, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Isn't that what we just sung a few months ago? Living by faith. Though tempest may blow and dark clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. We move through faith and we understand that God ultimately will bring justice and bless his people. And that's what we believe by faith, that God will bring justice and bless his people. After the first couple of chapters, God sort of lays everything out for Habakkuk and says, this is the struggle. I know you're struggling, but ultimately I will make things right. And just because you see one nation rise to power doesn't mean I'm endorsing them. I'm using them to bring about my ultimate plan. And when Habakkuk hears all this, it's very interesting. He writes a song, basically. He takes his prayer and makes it into a song. And I just want to read part of it to you, because it's too beautiful to try to summarize completely. O Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mystery. God came from Teman, from the holy mount of Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light, and he had rays flashing from his hand. And there his power was hidden. Before he went, pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth, and looked and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered, perpetual hills bound. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of the Cushan in affliction, the curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, you were displeased with the rivers. Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow is quite made ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. You divide the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep utterance of its voice had lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation as the light of your arrows went at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You struck the head of the house of the wicked, and by laying bare the foundation to neck. You thrust through his own arrows, the head of his villagers. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. The rejoicing was like the feasting of the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself that I may find rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to with the people, he will invade them with the troops. More or less what Habakkuk does in these verses, he says, God, I know how you've always worked. And I know sometimes your justice is terrifying. I know sometimes you've done mighty works, mighty works, to bring about your plan. And pretty much he says, I'm just going to trust you. I know even the nature itself is subject to you. Your creation, you are still in control of. And God, I'm going to trust you. I can't change my circumstances. I can't change what's fixing to happen. But God, I'm going to trust you. And so these next verses, are spoken by a man whose faith were tested, and he demonstrated to God that as his prophet, as his follower, he trusted him. So listen to his decision. Chapter 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will rejoice, I will joy in the God of my salvation. When I read this, I think of Job. When he lost everything, he lost material possessions, he lost all the kids and their family, he lost his health and his strength. He proclaims, naked shall I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We see Habakkuk understand that hard times are reality, because of the brokenness of man, because of the brokenness of this world. And we can't change that, but we can change ourselves. And Habakkuk chooses to return to God with faith. Putting his faith and assurance in God. Faith in spite of circumstance. That's what God delights in. Faith in spite of our reality. That's what God delights in. We've been studying about the Holy Spirit in the Bible study class on Sunday mornings. And we've been on a journey of somewhat discovery, I believe. But we spent this morning talking about how being filled with the Holy Spirit means a lot of different things in a lot of different contexts in Scriptures. But we also looked at the fact that being filled with the Holy Spirit can mean I can have peace in my struggle. I can have peace in the most desperate times of my life. We looked at Stephen in Acts chapter 7, that as he was being stoned to death, he has peace. Scripture says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And instead of being afraid and fearful, instead of even asking for mercy or to spare his life, he sees into heaven and makes proclamation about the Son of God being in his temple, on his throne. You see, faith in spite of circumstances, that's what God desires from us, but also God empowers us to have that through his Spirit, through his love, and through his revelation to us. Now, I'm getting close to my promise to you who have been curious about my choice of slides this morning, showing a large deer on top of a hill. Because Habakkuk does this imagery. The very last verse in chapter 3, he ends this song, if you will, with a powerful image of how God equips those who live in faith. See, God's not going to ask you to muster all this up on your own. God will equip you to have this. And so he says this in the last verse of chapter 3. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like a deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. Interesting imagery. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And make me walk on my high heels. When the deer is being pursued by the hunter, it knows it needs to get out of range. Now, back when he wrote this, they didn't have higher power rifles. But the deer knew, if I can just get far enough and high enough, I'm safe. They can't get me. And I think that deer still know that today, if they can get just far enough out of range, that they're safe. But my high heels. He personalizes that God is sufficient. God will give me strength. God will give me the ability to survive. God will give me what I need to overcome in face of uncertainty and face of circumstance, that I can be changed to move in a place of faith. God gives us strength to deal with our circumstances, and that is why he is worthy of our praise. This morning, we're going to spend some more time in singing this morning, and I just want you to use this opportunity to open up your heart to God. In our study of being filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul connects singing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart as something related to the Holy Spirit. And as we're collectively here this morning, let us celebrate that this morning, because God gives us strength to deal with our circumstances. That deer that escapes to the high places out of danger from those who are in pursuit. The Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, you know the context. Let me remind you. He's not writing Philippians chapter 4 from a nice, warm, cozy study. He's not writing Philippians chapter 4 from the beach someplace. He's not, you know, in an easy chair or with friends having a good time. He writes Philippians chapter 4 from prison. He's in prison. One of the overarching themes of the book is about joy. It's irony, but it's God's irony. And he's writing about joy. Again, to Viktor Frankl's statement, when we can't change our circumstances, we have to change ourselves. He was a prisoner. Couldn't change the circumstances, so he said, I'm going to focus on what I can change. And so he tells these people who he dearly loves at the church at Philippi a lot of great things. But this one is very important. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And as we remove through whatever is left of 2020 and whatever obstacles lay ahead of us, Paul's words, Habakkuk's praise, that will get us through. We can't change circumstances, but we can change ourselves. We can rejoice in the Lord. So if you're here this morning and you would like to do that in a formal way, to rejoice in the Lord, either to rededicate yourself or to make a decision to begin following Him this morning by confessing Jesus your Savior, being buried with Him in baptism, I tell you what, there would be a lot of rejoicing in that decision this morning. Everything's prepared. We're ready. Brother Eric's going to lead us in a song. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the song? So, okay.